Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
I'm a man who's got very specific taste, but you're just my type, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And Pete Donaldson's here.
Yes, yes.
Pete's back from Ghent from the weekend. Belgium's Ghent.
Yeah, I gave myself a cold. I drank so much, I gave myself a cold.
How does that happen? What did you give the local people?
Entertainment.
And good times. Mm, but the two aren't mutually exclusive, I would argue.
Donaldson's trials with gravity. Just falling over a lot.
I may or
did gravity
may not
win
have,
again?
I may or may not have more on that from a listener later in the show.
Oh!
Big news.
Really? That's lovely.
I said may or may not.
sounds like you're very much in the mid camp.
Let's hope we can have some of Pete's wicked whispers, eh?
Yeah.
Stolen under his very nose. Now, Stephen Fletcher had to sing the theme tune to The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air as his initiation at Marseille recently before sitting down to dinner with his teammates. If you could choose an initiation for a player, could be a particular player or even a manager, what would you come up with, Jim?
I'm going to go for a type of player, sort of mercurial players like Adel Terat,
Mario Balotelli, those players where clearly the talent is there, but they don't apply themselves to the point where people say, actually, is the talent there? Are they just a bit flash and is it tricking us? So let's take Tarap as an example. So whatever club he ends up at next, as the manager, I would say, look, you've got to sit here in front of the squad, and if you're so talented, then you can do a Rubik's Cube with your feet, and no one can say a word or leave until you've done it. And then he would learn that, you know, to actually get the best out of his talent and achieve something, he's got to apply himself, put a bit of work in. It takes time. You've got to make some effort and solve a bloody Rubik's Cube with your feet, Adele.
So all the other players got to sit around watching him do it?
Yeah, because obviously there's pressure. Exactly, exactly. You know, but he can't let them down, can he? He's got to work hard for them.
It's a bit like the teamwork. It's a bit like the scene in Full Metal Jacket when they'll have to do press-ups because Private Pal's eating a donut.
It's a lot like that.
Yeah.
I can't see Fulham doing that to him. Do you know what I mean? When he went on loan to Fulham or something.
Felix McGatt was there, they might have.
Oh, that's a point.
I'm not sure if he was there or not, but you're right, Jim.
It could be a Harrods Rubik's Cube.
It could well be.
Are they different?
Very posh.
There are some
posh
players.
London's finest.
All gold. Really easy.
Absolutely.
There are some players who've got such good technique that I reckon they could do a Rubik's Cube.
Who do you reckon? I think Messi could do it with kick-ups.
Yeah, I was thinking. Yeah, that'd be good. I was thinking Tom Hoddleston. And I was also thinking,
really?
He's got great technique.
I was aiming higher than
I was
that.
I was also going to say Alvaro Recoba.
Oh, lovely.
The left peg.
Now you're talking.
The left peg of justice, really. I mean, one of the greatest left pegs of all time.
Well, Darren Anderton, because he was always injured and his legs went backwards sometimes, didn't they?
That's true. Yeah. That is
they
true.
They went in all different directions.
Maybe that's how he did it.
Garincha would be the ultimate one, would you not?
I imagine Darren Anderton's knee being like a Rubik's Cube.
That's the problem the medical staff had. They just couldn't get it right. This is so hard.
No, you can't take the stickers off. It's cheating.
Just bones grinding against each other.
All right, so Rubik's Cube with your feet. Excellent. Luke, what you got?
I've noticed fairly recently that McDonald's are the sponsors of the FA coaches.
And pretty much everything else.
They do genuinely sponsor coaches at the FA, I think.
Do they?
I think I'm right on that, yeah. So I was thinking of a way they could further ingratiate themselves in the world of football by administering a fillet of fish challenge for each player upon signing for a new team.
Right.
Fillet of fish challenge is 10 fillet of fish down in 10 minutes. And I've got here on my notes, possible double cheeseburger substitute if you have a doctor's note to say you can't eat fillet of fish.
But they'll never get that done.
Well, how do you know? They might
If you go to McDonald's to buy your fillet of fish, they're never ready. You've got to have them ordered specially. It would take hours for them to even order the blooming thing.
They're being sponsored by McDonald's. I don't think they can make it happen.
Yeah, because I don't think that's the problem with this. But I like that how...
What is the problem then?
Trying to get 10 done in 10 minutes, no one could humanly do that.
Well, that's the whole point, isn't it? You know, that's the point of an initiation ceremony. Surely, it's a challenge. It's difficult.
If you do it, if you do manage to do it, you get extra points in the Players Player of the Year at the end of the season.
I can imagine Tarak just going, oh, can I do that one instead?
Yeah. I'm not playing any games.
All right, fair enough. Fillet of fish. Peter.
In 2003...
Okay.
Here we go. Jimmy White released a single called Jimmy's Minted.
Well, the snooker player, Jimmy White.
The snooker player, Jimmy White, Whirlwind.
Did you bring that in?
Yeah, okay. He's physically
the snooker
up
player,
a copy
Jimmy
of it
White.
On
this
CD.
Is not one for our North American brothers and sisters.
No, I don't care.
No, who cares about them anyway?
Frankly, I hate them.
Okay.
No, he released a single called Jimmy's Minted, and it didn't get anywhere in the charts or anything. And my dad,
unsurprisingly,
is that the only copy, like the Wu-Tang album?
Yeah, well,
he's actually holding a copy of this.
Yeah, exactly. Having that Rich Banker, horrible man.
Yeah.
And I just think Ezekiel Lavezzi would have a lovely time singing the lyrics of this song because it really is something else. I've got a copy of this CD because my friend Mark directed the video.
Okay.
And it was all rather shady and strange.
I'm seeing from the CD here, there's a karaoke version on the B-side.
Lovely. Well, so you can get involved later on.
Get involved, yeah.
Oi, oi, my ship's come in. I've had a big win. Big cigar and a nice fast car. No more work. I'm just going to play. I'm going to have a fantastic day. Yeah, my ship's come in. Yeah, I've had a big win. Nice, 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 nice cigar. Money's too tight to mention. Money's so loose, I don't need a pension. Freedom for all is a nice idea, but I'm going for a curry and 10 pints of beer. Sunshine holiday, here I come. I might even take my dear old chums. I'm absolutely minted. I'm flying high. I'm thinking about my skint mates as they struggle by.
Wow. That's outrageous.
Yeah, maybe, Ronaldinho.
I was about to say,
Maybe Jimmy Bullard could do a cover of this. Yeah. Doesn't even have to change the
this
name.
This is like an English version of Ronaldinho's I'm full of money.
Yeah. It's got a little bit of the Antonio Cassano about it.
Yeah,
also,
it does.
Also love the idea that he might take his mate.
Yeah, I've decided.
Considering just going alone.
No, his skint mates, laughing at them.
Do you want four more lines?
Please.
Yeah. Hey, bank manager, it's for real. I'm changing banks now. How do you feel? Rolls Royce, Bentley and a big pool. By the end of the week, I'll have it all. I worried so much I was in despair. Now I'm loaded, I just don't care. Beautiful women running fingers through my hair. But I'm afraid
hair
we're
talking... Hair replacement
for yeah,
Drew White.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. He's got you covered. But I'm afraid... But I'm afraid we're talking transplant here.
No, yeah. he's acknowledged
he's
it.
To be fair, there's a self-awareness to this that I enjoy.
Yeah. Been laughing so much I've given myself a stitch. And he rhymes that with rich, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. Thank goodness.
Yeah. Here, love, pack your bags. Oh, why is that? You're going away, and that's a fact. Winter or summer, never mind that. Just sling your hook, you old king bat.
Your old king bat?
That is
why the aggression towards his bank manager?
And also,
he's had a bank manager that's just never believed in him.
The artwork is all dollar bills, but single dollar bills.
Why? There should be pound notes.
Yeah. The very prominent one on the front is a $1 bill. So at best, he's got about $30 there. Yeah. And he lives in England. So
he's making it rain.
Yeah. I have seen Jimmy White knocking around his car because he lives down in Surrey, not far from where I used to live. And his personalised number plate says Q Boy.
Q-boy.
Can I just, Marcus, this is your domain.
Hang on, as in just a Q?
As in a snooker Q.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Just not the Q.
That's all
right. That sounds like something else.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah,
but it clearly isn't.
Marcus, this is your realm, not mine, but I'm wondering how this relates to the opening question.
What is your
Well, he would entertain everyone with his lovely song.
What, Jimmy White?
No! Lavezzi. Now he's in China.
Of course. Lavezzi going to China would have to sing
that song.
That song.
So just telling everyone how much
Chinese
money he's made.
I'm so glad you dragged that back, Luke, because I was just all over the place.
Imagine him in China. Yeah. Right, everyone, I'm going to sing this song now.
It's by an English snooker player, and I'm going to sing it in English, despite not really knowing it.
Actually, in China, they do like snooker.
They love it. It's very popular.
So they might know Big Jimmy. So... Pete's answer wasn't ridiculous after all.
They know Kenny G. They play that Kenny G song when they go home.
Do they?
Yep.
Oh. When they go home?
They play it all on their factories and stuff. They play a very specific song when they go home, and it's Kenny G.
I will concede that you will know more about this than I do. I'm still fascinated.
It's the Kenny G song, Going Home.
Right.
I haven't heard it. I'm not familiar with it. I believe you.
I don't need you for backup.
Is that what you do when you go to the Far East? You just do shifts in factories?
Yeah. And wait outside dog cafes.
Yeah.
Desperately wanting to go in.
Yeah. Mm.
If a player was signing for a Tony Pulis team and I was the owner, I would make the new signing and Tony Pulis both... when a new signing, he normally goes and watches the team before he plays and then he comes out on the pitch, normally in a kind of a faux leather jacket waving to the fans.
Yeah.
So if it was that game there that the new player was coming out onto the pitch, I would make him and Pulis both grease up. I was going to say covered in yoghurt, but I just thought you might have the yoghurt answered.
Yeah,
you didn't want to steal this one.
Yeah, true. Grease up and then wrestle in the centre circle at half time.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that. I would. I don't think there's enough homoerotic sort of Greco-Roman wrestling in football.
I think. Have you not? Really?
Yeah. I think the West Brom fans would enjoy it at the moment.
They would.
I said there's not enough.
Yeah.
I'd personally like to see more.
That's right. That's absolutely right. I think Pete's got the points.
Good. I only had to bring a CD I bought 2 years ago
for £5
from eBay.
You'll
get
props.
£5?
£5?
Probably about four times more than it actually cost when it was released.
Yeah.
That's about as much money as he's got on the front cover.
Yeah.
Jimmy's minted.
Yeah.
My goodness. There we are. Right then, to the FA Cup where Reading did beat West Brom.
Yeah. We predicted it.
It was a giant killing, or was it? I suppose it was. Reading are quite low down in the Championship. West Brom are a Premier League side. Jim?
Yeah.
Oi, all agree it was a great day for Brian McDermott.
One of the best days, if not the best days, of his life.
Yeah. I forgot that McDermott was Reading manager.
You forgot they'd given him a second stint?
Yeah. When
second
I saw
roll
him
of the
on
dice.
The bench, I thought, he looks like Brian McDermott.
Yeah. Did you worry that you travelled back in time?
For a couple of months, yeah.
A couple of months?
However long ago it was when he was in charge, a year or two ago, I thought, if I'd known that, I'd have travelled back further. But yeah, good day for Reading, even though it was a very poor one for West Brom.
Is it fair to say it was a reasonably poor day for Chris Brunt?
Oh, God, yeah.
Horrible at the end there.
Awful.
But everybody coming out on Twitter just sort of going, I think this is abhorrent. I'm going, yeah, we all know that.
Yeah.
Don't worry
about
it. You're not the president.
I love
to come
it how,
out with a statement with everything that happens.
Yeah. I love it how
stop
people,
this scourge of faces.
People need to express... that they're more shocked than the previous person. Do you know what I mean?
So it gets
to the point where you think they're describing the Syrian refugee crisis and it's... Yeah. Oh, no, it's...
I disagree with this the most.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's weird,
I do think there's a certain kind of breed of... if I was going to speculate, I was going to say that whoever threw probably one of the younger.
You don't know.
Do you reckon it's the guy who got his shirt? Is that where this is going?
It's the slight kind of entitlement of the modern young football fan for my money. But nobody who supported Albion pre-Megson is going to be throwing coins at the wrong players because they remember how poor they were.
Especially
10, 15 seasons ago.
But Chris Brunt has really, really put a shift in for that club.
He's played over 400 games.
I know, that's outrageous. And also, throwing a coin at someone is like a manual version of shooting someone. Do you know what I mean? Just using a bit of metal as a projectile. It's like making yourself into a rubbish gun. It's just an idiotic thing to do. It happened at Chelsea as well, didn't it?
That's right.
A coin thrown at them.
To be honest, I think it probably happens a lot in football, but there's never a direct hit.
Yeah, maybe.
I've certainly seen
coins have been thrown for years. Jamie Carragher, he got one thrown at him at Highbury and he threw it back, which was quite crazy. And then Beckham had coins thrown at him at Main Road when Manchester United played there. I think he got the only goal of the game, a beautiful free kick. And he bent down and picked them up and started putting them in his shorts.
The thing I didn't like about the Chelsea one was it looked like the West Brom fan had given him the idea.
Yeah.
And it was like, because there was so much attention from it.
I'll be an idiot as well.
The type of people who do that sort of thing are clearly going to revel in the attention drawn from it.
And the trouble is with idiots like that, they never take the idea from the other fans who didn't throw the coins.
Exactly.
They didn't say, no one else threw coins. I'll follow them.
I've been at Hartlepool Downs where someone's thrown darts before. You know, it's just one of those things where it's like, at each other's fans, not at the players or anything like that. But it's just like, it's not indicative necessarily of a wider problem, but I do think there is a slight strain of the young hooligans creeping back into the game.
You say it's not indicative of a wider problem. I think, part of me thinks that there should be some sort of collective responsibility for this. I mean, I'm not blaming fans that haven't done it, but clearly there is an environment at certain football games which means that people feel that they can do that sort of thing.
It's modern, it's entitlement, isn't it? It's kind of like, and I think the further the Premier League moves away from that kind of grassroots football, the more of that sort of thing will creep back in. And it'll go in cycles.
People have always thrown coins at football. I'm not saying that, calm down.
Proud tradition.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I've had enough of it and we should leave Europe. No, I think that.
Their coins are bigger.
Yeah, they are.
Apart from the pound coin. The pound coin is a weighty piece.
Mm. It's a classic.
Are we getting a new £2
Let's not
coin?
Put ideas in people's heads.
£5 coin?
I remember the £2 coin used to be a proper beer token. They used to be able to buy a pint of beer with the £2 coin.
Oh, right.
It was almost like it was designed and minted expressly for that purpose.
Minted.
Speaking of which.
Minted.
Yeah. I respect Jimmy White more if the cover of that CD single was literally like a £2 coin. Showering with £2.
Standing on the side of the
on the side of the snooker table. My turn next.
Yeah, but the serious point I wanted to make was that a lot of people will hide behind saying, if you sanitise football and you do all this stuff and you essentially stop an atmosphere. And I think that's absolutely nonsense.
Of course
I don't think they're mutually exclusive at all.
Of course.
I've been to
a good atmosphere, is it?
No. I've been to other... It's an intimidating atmosphere, which people don't feel comfortable being in.
Yeah.
And I've been to other sports and watched them,
American
and there's been an amazing
sports.
Atmosphere, and there's never any hint of any of that sort of stuff happening. I think it would be great. It's easier said than done. But I think it would be great if everyone could take a collective responsibility and try and make out that sort of stuff isn't acceptable in any form, anywhere.
Yeah. Well, there's a local newspaper has put a £500 reward for the guy's name.
In pound coins.
Yeah.
That's not helping.
Yeah, no.
Giving him ammo.
Absolutely. No, he's not going to get the reward.
Well, he might hand himself
it'll
in.
It'll be the person.
£500.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll give it to him if he hands himself in.
I guarantee you it'll be the best
payday
he's ever had
in a newspaper. Yeah. I mean, actually, to be fair, he's got to be pretty thick, so maybe he will do that. Who knows? But yeah, I mean, hopefully someone will grasp him.
I think
in terms of taking collective responsibility, it is a difficult thing to do, isn't it? But there's an opportunity for that there, so let's hope someone takes it.
It's a pretty decent ground. They should have cameras. I
think we need change. Or is that part of the problem? I'm not sure. But Reading.
Oh, that is just cheap, man. Yeah.
What?
No.
Less of that.
Not allowed. That's cheaper than throwing the coin.
What did I say? Reading won the game.
They did.
Let's
they
get back
great.
To the football, okay?
West Brom, West Brom were bad, weren't they?
They were.
They really were. It took them ages to get into the game. And what
they were
really telling. Well, they were 1-0 up, but despite that, they conceded very quickly afterwards. It's true. Genuinely true. Even at 1-0 up, they weren't really in the game, which is astounding.
Reading were the better team in the first half, for sure.
And I say that because they conceded so quickly. But the third goal was astounding. It came from Reading just trying to keep the ball in the corner, but it was as easy to get a shot away. It's like they didn't really want to do it. Just they were sort of ushered towards having a shot, and then they did, and they scored.
It was like they were going, well, we don't really want to give the ball away. This is the key stage. But I mean, if you're going to let us do that, then we are very much going to take
that
opportunity.
We'll keep the ball in your net.
Yeah. The Darren Fletcher Fletcher goal was very nice, very nicely taken, I thought. Mm.
Always nice to see Fletcher do well.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, they're rewarded with a home tie against Crystal Palace in the next round. That's winnable.
That's what Spurs thought.
True. Mm. Well, that is very true. Well, Reading were in the semi-final recently.
They got beaten by Arsenal, didn't
That's
they?
Right, yeah. I mean, was that on penalties?
Oh, or was that Sheffield United? Was Wigan.
Wigan they beat penalties.
But yeah, they've got a bit of pedigree. Yeah. In the last 10 years, I think they've knocked West Brom out four times, which is mad.
It is.
Yeah, but there you go. Bogey team.
Given they don't seem to be able to sort of buy a goal in the Championship at the moment, that is fairly strange.
Well, it's what we were saying on the preview show, isn't it? That the FA Cup sometimes acts as a little holiday for clubs where they don't have the pressure of the league. And it always seemed to me that would suit Reading more than West Brom, and so it proved to be.
Well, because West Brom are struggling themselves, but Reading haven't won a game in the league since the turn of the year. So
it's like you said a few weeks ago, West Brom just don't know who they are.
No.
It's just kind of like an amorphous blob of football.
All the things you expect from a Tony Pulis side, it doesn't really seem that immediately apparent.
Because he's got a couple of flair players in now, and he's like, I don't know what to do with this. Yeah. I don't know what to do with this people.
Also, Pulis is basically making noises about maybe not extending his contract, and it's not really certain if he's going to stay around, which is...
Well, he might not get relegated.
Well, absolutely not, yeah. But that's not really the sort of thing you expect from Pulis, is it? The idea of hiring Tony Pulis is that he brings you some stability and solidity, absolutely.
Yeah. I agree, yeah. It's a strange one for him to say that.
It is. We're going to talk about Palace and Pardew after this.
Watch yourself, it's the Ramble Boys, chucking out the bants, making all the noise. Keep your peepers peeled and watch those grubby mitts, because they're coming for you and your big shop tips.
Spurs 0, Palace 1.
The slide is
over. Speaking of teams who can't win in the league but then have a little holiday in the cup. Actually, Palace did have a proper holiday, didn't they? Before the game, Palace had taken his team away to Spain, didn't they? They asked him if he'd be doing the same for the next round, and he said, oh, absolutely.
Any excuse?
Yeah.
I take the team to Spain before every game. Win, lose or draw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you manage in La Liga, Alan?
Yeah. Two for one shots at Lineker's bar.
Lineker's
and you can't
bar.
Put a price on that sort of morale.
Have you ever been to a Lineker's bar?
I think I might have done.
I have never.
Have you?
I have. It's all right. It's quite spacious.
Depends what time of
day. Shuttle runs. Up and down.
You being Peter Beardsley. Did you go to Beardsley's bar? A lot of hard work going on in there.
Yeah. Beardsley works in there. He's still doing all the running.
Lineker's bar is the exact same dimensions as a six-yard box.
In Beardsley's bar, would the food be created, the cocktails would be mixed there, and then be served in Lineker's bar?
Yeah. And then Waddle comes in drunk and dribbling everywhere.
but it would definitely be uglier in the Beardsley's bar. Mm. It would be a very strange shape.
It would be, but it would be more honourable, you could suggest.
Anyway, that's Spurs Palace done.
It is. Palace in the quarterfinals for the first time since 1995, according to a BBC commentator I heard him say.
I don't know how Palace won that match. I don't know how Spurs it lost was it. So, I don't know how Spurs... It was
reminiscent of Manchester United 0, Portsmouth 1.
Disagree.
It was, in the sense that it was so one-sided. Well,
Portsmouth dominated.
True enough.
Yeah.
There's no greater joy than seeing a ball hit both posts.
United?
Yeah. Oh,
no, it never gets old, that.
Especially if it's for Tottenham.
Yeah. Oh, dear, yeah. Despite Palace's poor form, of course, Pardew rightly pointed out that his Palace players could still finish in a record high position in the Premier League, and they're in the quarterfinals of the Cup.
Because the Premier League is a joke.
Is it fair to say that Pardew's seen the Pardew slide, and he's just ran up it like it's the Travelator at the end of the game. No, enough of this. Not for me,
pulled
son.
His shirt off.
Come on. Let's do this. I've heard you, Donaldson. Your fun's over.
He was loving it, wasn't he? The old grin was back, and I thought, just bear in mind, pal, you're in the next round of the cup, fair enough.
Yeah.
But you've lost, what, five on the bounce or something like that?
He's a confidence manager.
He is. He really is. But it was so one-sided, that game, how Spurs didn't win the match. And it's a shame for Spurs because they were on for a domestic double.
Well, do you think, to a degree, though, that, they're still in Europe, they've got an actual title bid on, which, it would have seemed kind of mad at the start of the season. It's not the end of the world for them not to be in the FA Cup anymore.
It isn't.
So, I think there are positives to take there. You'd always rather replays. Still be in the competition.
It depends what school of thought you've got here, because if you are thinking about fitness and potential injuries and energy of the players and so on and so forth, then yes, they've got one, two, three less games there. And Arsenal have got one more, by the way, before they think about the next round.
Actually, I'm really happy with that, because what we've done... we've fooled Barcelona. And they are not going to... They're going to have nothing to just counter the hammering they're going to get tomorrow night.
Right.
It's going to be embarrassing for them. Absolutely embarrassing. They're going to look at that whole game and think, this will be easy. They're just going to get smashed. Yeah. I think they'll probably just fold the club.
Do you think Luis Enrique will think to himself... Well,
he'll just turn into smoke.
Will he? Yeah. I thought he would be maybe thinking, well, if old Brucey can't outthink them, what chance have I got?
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Either way, they're getting smashed.
But can I trouble you for a score prediction, please? Because we're on this rich vein of content.
Yeah. plus 3-0 to the home team.
Yeah. Jim Stradamus.
Yeah.
Lovely. Oh, Jimmy. Chelsea, they're in the next round, aren't they?
They are. Oh, my God. What a buy that was.
Manchester City's team, 5-1.
But it was like Man City's version of the Muppet Babies, wasn't it?
Pellegrini, like, he's going to take a lot. Well, he has taken a lot of criticism.
He doesn't care now, though, does he?
Do you think
it's because he's on the way out? Like, this is what I think of your bloody January announcement.
I'll do what I want.
Yeah. I really enjoyed.
Shut your noise.
I really enjoyed. I'm off to Spain with pods.
We got a great tweet from Ant Henderson who said, with Pellegrini telling fans not to bother buying tickets for Chelsea, is this the first example of a manager resting fans?
That's very good. I like that. Yeah, he obviously fielded a handful of players who had no first-team experience.
Yeah.
None at all.
But, what, six of them?
I think
Iheanacho is a senior player in that team.
Oh, yeah, he is. Yeah. Yeah.
But
sure.
I think there were four or five with no first-team experience at all, off the top of my head. I mean, and, of course, he was angry with the FA because they didn't bring the game forward by a day because they were playing in Kiev this week, of course, in the Champions League.
I'm not having that, really. I think I initially thought they were playing Tuesday, which I would have thought, OK, fine, it's 24 hours fewer for them. But when you think that they're not playing a game until Sunday because they played the League Cup final at 4 p.m, which is the latest, obviously, you can play on a Sunday in that context. And if you think about how they're travelling to Kiev, they're going to be travelling in luxury for like 3.5 hours on the flight. It's not going to be travelling to Kiev as we all know it.
Yeah.
It's going to be fine to get there and
listen
get
to
back.
You.
Apart from that.
Also, as well, they have such a big, deep squad.
That's
right, but it's the same as like Liverpool, like Klopp complaining about fixture congestion. You sort of go, look, you know what's going to happen at this time every season. If you go on a cup run, or if you assign more importance to the abstract concept of 11 men running around a field to another 11 men running around a field.
No, but
they could have put.
But they could have put the game a day earlier.
They could have, but you don't always get what you want, and you've just got to deal with that. You know, put out the tin.
Is that some of the lyrics from Jimmy White singing?
Football is so stupid at the best of times.
The thing that was disconcerting for me is when I was reading up about all this earlier.
that keeps us in a job, Peter.
I feel like I'm getting old because I keep thinking that the players and the managers want more money for fewer games. They never want to play games. It's like, we should cut the Premier League down to like 16 teams. Like, no, we shouldn't. Yeah. I'm happy with it as it is.
Just flip for it every season. There's a whole season off. Yeah.
But I think
it was poor when he said fans don't bother buying a ticket.
But it's bad, and it's disrespectful to them. They want to see their team.
Yeah.
Like they don't view it as a burden. They enjoy it.
You've got to point out that Man City do have quite a few injuries at the moment. They've got seven first-team players out, I think.
It's a very pointed and very deliberate, you know.
It's the old Redknapp. It's the old putting the second keeper on the bench thing that Redknapp used to do when the transfer window opened again. Little nod to the chairman. Oh, look at me. I've got to put two keepers on the bench. I need more players.
Yeah.
I love that.
Looking at the actual game, though, obviously Chelsea must have, you know, the fans in particular must have thought, oh, I can't believe this. Mm. This is great. Because, you know, that's a tough game in normal circumstances. But the form they're in, they could actually win it. And Hiddink's won it before in very similar circumstances. Yep. They actually genuinely look like
Are you worried that this has inadvertently kickstarted Chelsea's season?
Yeah, not only that. Chelsea won it in 2012 when they'd got a change of manager as well under Di Matteo. They won it the same season they won the Champions League, 2012. They won the FA Cup that season too. So it's pointing towards that. And Hiddink's record. The thing I like about Hiddink is obviously I don't know the guy, but he clearly just comes across as the arch diplomat.
Yes.
He looks like he could just defuse any sort of argument to anyone.
Well, the ultimate example is, what's his name? Ancelotti.
Yeah.
He's got a touch of that about him, hasn't he?
Hiddink's it's like a kindly Dutch uncle. Yeah. And Dutch uncle sounds rude, doesn't it?
Yeah.
French prefix of Dutch. It sounds like anything
it sounds
rude.
Like a sex move.
Yeah. Yeah. Spanish fly.
He got his old Dutch uncle out, didn't he? Yeah.
It's interesting what Chelsea are going to do because Hiddink is clearly not going to be there long term, and what they're going to do after he goes and what manager they're going to get in next. And I wonder if they've considered perhaps appointing Jose Mourinho.
No, they're going to stick with Hiddink for now. They've looked at that cup and they've decided we're going to make a Dutch push.
Yeah.
A Dutch
whatever
push.
That is.
But only after the watershed.
Yeah. That sounds like a really messy Dutch oven.
Yeah. Well, Everton.
Before we go on to Everton, can I just put a point to you guys? Now, Willian clearly is. Chelsea's player of the season at the moment. He's having an absolutely fantastic season. It's not like he was ever a bad player before, but he's really kicked on. Do you think when they signed Cuadrado, clearly because Willian was good but they thought they could upgrade him, that that is what's pushed him on? Because he's just so reliable, so consistent.
Yeah. I do think it's an interesting point, because the whole competition for places type thing is definitely a factor. And Arsene Wenger's never subscribed to that, by the way. I think that previously to obviously him leaving, Alex Song just went on a massive... His form just dropped off a cliff, because my contention probably at the time, if I can remember rightly, and still now, is that, like, that sort of player, if he knows that every week he's just going to walk into that team, what incentive has he got? And I think you're right about Willian. I think you hit the nail on the head there.
Well, some players never really did anything. Some players shrink from it and others rise to it. And Willian seems to have been that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, Everton have got themselves a Dutch tie in the next round because they're playing Chelsea. That's a big one. Big one, Everton versus Chelsea. Saucy. Blackburn, they were beaten 5-1. Another 5-1 in the FA Cup. Eh? Yeah. Anything can happen.
It's the magic of the Cup.
That's right.
They magicked the goals in.
Dimitri Payet.
It's like David Blaine was up front for them.
Payet was
in a big box.
Copperfield in goal.
He was taking the wee.
I'm not finished.
No, no.
Dynamo on the wing. Okay, I'm finished now.
Yeah. And Paul Daniels.
Yeah. There you go.
Very
Paul
well
Daniels in the dugout.
Terrible news about Paul
All
Daniels.
All the best to Paul Daniels.
Yeah, very much so.
He's a proper lovely bloke.
Yeah. Big Middlesbrough fan. I hear, yeah. Slaven Bilic was waxing lyrical about Payet. Of course he was. How could he not? And he said, I have to get poetry lessons to describe his importance to us.
Can you have poetry lessons?
Presumably.
I don't really know.
I'd imagine so.
It would be just literature, wouldn't it?
But did Bilic not write the songs for Rawball, his rock band?
Possibly. Yeah.
He wasn't a lyrics man, though.
Well, I don't know. Even if he was, clearly that's how good Payet is. He doesn't feel qualified.
Do you know what the most annoying thing is? That Payet, if he was English, would be the first name on our team sheet. Probably won't even get in the France squad for the Euros.
Yeah. We're going to win it, though, so shut up.
I've got a really funny France squad story in a minute.
Is it to do with Benzema?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay, thank goodness.
No. Some teams had a week off this week because of the FA Cup, didn't they?
Yeah.
And one of those teams was Aston Villa. So that what they did is they had a game behind closed doors against their under-21s.
Exactly.
Seems very professional.
And lost. 3-0.
Is that true? I thought that was
dreadful. Don't worry about it. Move on.
Can you believe that, eh? Whoa. West Ham put them to the sword. Couple of sendings off. Shame for West Ham. They were down to 10 men because obviously they're in the next round.
Yeah, but they were pretty good for it, weren't they?
Yeah.
I think the keeper could have done a bit better with Payet, but...
Yeah.
Well, they'll play the winner of Shrewsbury versus Manchester United, which has obviously not happened at the time of recording.
I did enjoy the West Ham fan in the onesie, in the West Ham onesie.
Was he in a onesie?
He was like a big, proper, like...
Onesie man.
When you think of the term West Ham, or West Ham fan, that guy you're thinking of, that's what he looked like. But in like a big West Ham baby grow, it was brilliant.
West Ham fan as a man.
That would be good if they dished out every single fan 1 week I was dressed like that.
Onesie week?
Yeah, onesie week. And then one stand, as you said once, Jim, a stand of dogs, stand of onesies, a stand of...
what am I opening question?
Jimmy White's.
You're all right, mate.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
You hit your head today.
And the other stand, because there's one left, just load of
just
dollar bills.
Trouble at home?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't want to talk about
it. I'm all for the stand of dogs, though.
Yeah.
Of stands.
You'd have to vet the dogs, no pun intended. You have to make sure they were, you know, dogs that liked other dogs. Otherwise, you only need one that doesn't, and that's absolute carnage.
Yeah, but they just deal with it, wouldn't they? All the other dogs just put them down.
What's that in your hand, Frank? Is it a coin?
It's paw.
Get it.
It's in his
get
paw.
Out. Paw? What?
In his paw, not his hand.
Dog hands?
No, paws.
They've got hands.
No, they've got... No, they have handlers.
Dutch hands. Yeah. They've got Dutch hands.
Dutch hands.
What about this? Mentioning Manchester United.
Tell us bloody FA Cup week, aren't you?
Yeah.
Absolute drivel.
There wasn't even a dog on the pitch this week. Normally you think, right, there's not much football this week because it's the FA Cup, but on the other hand, we probably will get a dog on the pitch. Yeah. That'll see us through the first 20 minutes.
We had a fan on the
pitch.
We've
got to a point where we've got to a point where we are revisiting material
sentences
about dogs and sentences.
And we're only about 20 minutes in, so think on that.
Actually, we're further in, so don't worry.
Yeah. Oh. It feels a lot.
Cool your jets. Was there anything you wanted to add to the FA Cup, Peter?
Dogs.
I'd like to fill it with wine.
Yes, okay. Goodness knows what you'd do from there. Inter's director, Betty Moratti, sister of former club president Massimo Moratti.
Betty Moratti.
She said recently, after having lunch with Jose Mourinho, when asked if he's going back to Inter, no, he's happy now. He's going to Manchester. Of course, he's always fantastic and we missed him as a person here.
He got an absolutely amazing reception at Inter. They spent the whole of half-time singing his name, didn't they? And I think they unfurled a banner for him as well.
Yeah. That's big news in Italy, isn't
Mancini
it?
Mancini wouldn't be best pleased, would he?
Nah, probably not.
No, of course not. But Mourinho loves unsettling people for no real reason. There's a lot of stuff coming out of the sort of, I suppose you would call it, Man United sort of online press about the what's going on backstage.
There's a schism,
isn't
there, Jim?
There is a schism.
It sounds like a power struggle.
It does sound like a power
vacuum.
Struggle.
Would you say schism, Jim?
I would say schism, power struggle, Dutch rift. All kinds
Dutch
of
rift.
Yeah.
A tear in the space-time continuum.
Well, supposedly, I forget the name of the Twitter account.
It's a Red Issue.
Red Issue, yeah. So it's, obviously they know
Red
what they're
issue.
Talking about.
That sounds like a euphemism. Yeah. Doctor.
But apparently, the story from them is that Ferguson has, you know, there's this idea that Ferguson loves Mourinho, they've always got on very well, and that he's
apparently
trying
doesn't.
To get him in. Apparently not. Apparently deliberately strung him on in the past as a sort of like... as a power play, and maybe it's happening again. Because who knows?
Well, former Manchester United defender Paul Parker doesn't like the sound of all this Mourinho talk, Jim.
Well, here you go. He's one of the old guard coming out.
Very old guard. He said recently, to suggest that Mourinho would walk into a crisis situation at United and turn it around, that is absurd. He's never done that in his career. Frankly, given how unhappy the players are right now, they'd be better off bringing in Tim Sherwood between now and the end of the season. Someone to soft soap the players, give them a bit of a cuddle, get them feeling good about themselves once again.
Can I just say...
Please.
It's been a while. For a man
who's had a professional football career and played in World Cups,
he would have remembered communal baths.
Has he misunderstood what being a manager is?
Yeah.
A soft soap and a cuddle.
Is that what he got off Alex Ferguson?
And
he's
definitely not off Fergie.
Is that what Tim Sherwood's doing?
I don't know.
Could be. Marcus,
don't worry about tactics. You're just going to have a lovely old soapy cuddle.
Did Alex Inglethorpe ever give you a soft soap and a cuddle, mate?
I can't say that.
Paul
Parker went on to say, sadly, as we've seen with Tim, those sorts of managers don't work long term.
I can't ever think that he could have just slid in a Gary Neville dig there.
Yeah.
Because
Gary
Neville obviously usurped
him at
United.
He's not a soft soaper, though.
By long term, does he mean over 90 minutes?
Well, he said... he said, and United need to start thinking about the long term soon.
Just give Tim a half.
Yeah.
Give him a half. Give him the first half of any game.
They're not scoring. Sherwood Mourinho double X.
Yeah.
Tim does the first half. Yeah. Jose shuts it up at the end.
Yeah, definitely.
Tim does the first half of one game and then is never seen again.
It's still, you know, you could arrest that slide second half. So don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Just give him the first half. I always used to be obsessed with Paul Parker's Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
Because it's clearly written by either him or his wife, I'm convinced.
Yeah.
It's written, it knows a lot about him.
Does it mention his deflected goal over Shilton in the World Cup 97 final?
If it doesn't, it's definitely written by him.
Yeah.
He got an assist for Lineker for the equaliser.
Yeah.
Right.
So at best, he's even.
Exactly.
Very decorated player.
He was a good player, very good player.
Good fullback.
But he did say that those sorts of managers, of course, don't work long term. He said, United need to start thinking about the long term as soon as possible, because if not, they face the ultimate danger. Turning into the new Liverpool.
Oh! A gigantic dig.
And that is
time team level of dig.
And that is my dig of the week.
Oh, it's a lovely one from Big PP.
What a dig.
Eh?
P squared.
Lovely old job.
Yeah.
Come on.
P squared getting the trowel out.
Surely those words are from Ferguson. Come on.
Probably were.
Well, Ferguson's not working him.
Paul Parker getting the little paintbrush out when they find the dinosaur bone. There's a massive dig just dusting off the mud. Tim Sherwood's bones. And Liverpool's bones, dusting them off with a little paintbrush.
Yeah. I understand.
He said, Richard Hammond coming over a helicopter.
I understand the digs at Mourinho and Liverpool, but what Sherwood done to Paul Parker to get in that mega dig?
One of my favourite ever, like absolutely unexplainable digs was, I don't know if you guys are boxing fans, but Tony Bellew. He's quite an outspoken Scouse boxer. And,
not the one who's in the...
He's in the Rocky film.
Yeah, okay.
He's in the Rocky film.
Yeah.
This is where it came about. And he was interviewed about Tyson Fury, who'd saying all these things, saying all these outspoken things, how controversial it was. And they interviewed Tony Bellew, like, you're a boxer, what do you think? And Tony Bellew, I opened the interview by going, you know, I think all paedophiles should be publicly executed. That's just my opinion. And I was thinking, where's that come from? Why are you starting the interview with that? What do you mean?
Is there one in the room?
You've made it worse.
Are you subtweeting?
Yeah. What does that mean?
Wow.
So sometimes, what I'm trying to get at is sometimes sportsmen and ex-sportsmen do lose their way a little bit.
Unfortunately.
Especially when they get punched in the head all the time.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, everybody is entitled to their own opinion.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about La Liga and lots more from around the globe after this.
Hi, I'm Dion Dublin. And when I'm not banging my tube, I'm listening to the Football Ramble.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Granada. Oh, hang on, before I say that, what about the preview show coming up on Friday? Preview show sponsored by Bet365, coming at you like Cleopatra.
On the on the Reading West Brom thing, did we say there would be an upset? Because I think I remember saying there wouldn't be an upset. maybe you guys did and I didn't. But that's the sort of stuff you can expect on the preview show each week.
The best players don't beat themselves up.
No.
They just move on to the next match.
Exactly.
They move on to the next
club. Move on to the next wrong prediction.
Granada 1, Valencia 2. Another win for Gary.
Paul Hamley's been in touch about this game.
Has he?
So my highlight of the week is Gary Neville's turnaround in fortunes immediately after Diggory Pete Donaldson proclaimed him to be unfit for the job.
Yeah.
He's won three in a row since then.
Three in a row, Peter.
Did I say that certainly seems like a big sweeping claim, doesn't it? Sounds like I was getting involved with the actual punditry.
I've worked with you for about 8 years now, and I'm siding with Paul on this one.
Another Paul on the show.
I enjoyed Gary Neville trying a bit of Spanish out of the presser.
Oh, did he?
He tried a bit, but he's got that beautiful kind of Brit abroad where I'll have a crack at the words, but I'm not doing the accent.
No.
It's like when Roy Hodgson does like Swedish and Belgian and all the different languages he knows.
That's just the tone of his voice. Hodgson's a pro, come on. But it's either one or the other, isn't it? You either speak the language with no accent or you don't speak the language with an accent.
My feeling on this, my thinking around this, and I've thought about this for a while, is that I think for people learning a new language, the accent is the embarrassing part for them.
I think so, it's not the words, it's the accent, so that's why
they sort of go in, dip their toe in and just don't bother doing the whole thing.
Yeah,
and that's what Neville's doing, but he's definitely coming on. I mean, his first ever meeting of the players was an absolute disgrace.
But it's a good win though. They won 6-0 in the Europa.
Yeah, three on the bounce.
Bit of confidence, Jim. Bit of confidence. The first goal, I think it was against Granada. Beauty. Lovely setup. So
one's the hardest. They're over the hump now.
It is.
I think they're going to win the league.
Did you see Adri's goal for Athletic Bilbao away to Marseille in the Europa?
Filth.
It
absolute
was
filth.
Wonderful.
Oh, is it the volley?
Yeah. It was the volley from about 30, 35
yards. Talk us through it. I didn't see
this,
Marcus.
It was a proper chicken dipper.
So do you remember about, it must be about 7 or 8 seasons ago now, Matt Taylor scored one on his left foot volley against Bolton at Fratton Park. It was similar to that, but it wasn't as far out.
That was a ridiculous strike.
Are you saying that Matt Taylor's was better? Is that...
I've said my piece.
both goals are for charity.
Anyway, Valencia are only 32 points off the top now.
They are.
So it's worth thinking about.
When I saw that Athletic Bilbao go in, I was with an American friend of mine, and he said he saw the goal and he went, "Oh, that was a pants down." And I went, "What?" And he said, "Oh, when I was playing the old soccer ball when I was younger," he said, I'm being silly.
Hashtag travel.
That's right. Yeah. He said that they had a very, very loud and vocal and very funny Nigerian coach for their football team.
And he would always call chipping or lobbing the keeper from far out, pulling the keeper's pants down.
Nice.
Right? So this, how this would play out was, if you had the ball in a reasonably good position and the keeper was off his line, you know, like our mate... Chimbers,
yeah,
who would just shout, you know, when people say bang it,
it's bang, 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 bang,
bang, bang. Yeah, if you had a chance to shoot. This coach of theirs, you had a chance to chip the keeper, love the keeper, he would just go, pants down! It absolutely bellowed.
That is distracting.
But if it was a particularly good opportunity, he would shout, pants down, baby!
Before he'd even shot.
Yeah. Surely that's going to put you off.
Well, right? You would have thought so.
Yeah. Pants down,
it would
baby.
Make me think, have my pants fallen down? I'd lose my concentration.
Does he want me to take my pants down? What new tactical innovation is this?
Isn't that amazing, though? But you would have no idea if you're an opposition player. Why is that mentalist shouting pants down,
why is
baby?
That man instructing a baby to go to the toilet?
I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to do that sort of stuff during a game anyway. You can't shout stuff, and it's unsportsmanlike behaviour.
And if you shout your own, you're only allowed to shout your own name.
I'm for it.
You can't just shout mine.
You can't shout mine. That's a bookable offence.
Yeah.
Do you remember in the Champions League? It was a good while ago now. There was a Turkish team with I think it might have been Fenerbahce, and they were losing. Whoever they were playing was streaming forward, and someone from the Fenerbahce bench just kicked another ball onto the pitch.
Multi-ball.
I like that. In the Champions League. I like that. Highest level of club football competition.
Lovely old job. But yeah, Gary Neville, they won. We saw a Cristiano Ronaldo penalty miss.
Yeah.
Should have passed it, mate.
Carlos Kameni in goal. I love Carlos Kameni, continuing the great tradition of Cameroonian goalkeepers.
Yeah.
He's a brilliant keeper. Malaga, they're about mid-table, I think.
Malaga could have won that game. Mm. They got stage fright on a couple of occasions.
Navas kept them in it.
The guy who scored the goal, what's his name? Al Bentoza, on loan from Derby County. That's a good move.
He's happy with that.
It's a lovely old move, isn't it?
Ronaldo's goal was offside, so technically they shouldn't even have been.
It was offside, yeah. Malaga have got great defence. If they just sort it out in attack, they'll be away. Because I think only Atletico Madrid have conceded more goals in La Liga than them, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, very good defence, but they're about mid-table. They just can't.
Do you mean
fewer? No, fewer. Yeah.
They've
conceded 22, Atletico have conceded 11.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And Villarreal actually have conceded 18.
Oh,
and Barcelona have conceded 20.
Yeah.
They've got a very good defence.
Sorry, yeah. I'm all over the place.
11 goals, by the way, at Atletico Madrid in 25 games.
It's incredible. But yet they're still struggling, aren't they, to keep up with Barcelona? But that's fair enough.
One of those games they lost to Malaga.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
There we are.
Big poetry.
Carlos Kameni in goal. Kameni in goal. Right, we're moving on to a section which probably will be a one-off, sadly or hopefully, depending on how you look at this. And it's simply entitled Red Cards from Around the World. there's a few strange incidents involving red cards recently. First, we go to Turkey. Some of you would have seen this. During a match involving Trabzonspor and Galatasaray, the referee sent off a load of players.
Yeah.
One of the Trabzonspor players was sent off after it looked like he'd barged the referee when a penalty was awarded against him. That's a fair sending off.
Yep.
Depends on the ref. Are we talking Kevin Friend? Is it someone who's annoying as Kevin Friend?
You know, bear in mind though that Kevin Friend will be making the decision. So
that is true. Actually,
I remember. You remember Paul Durkin?
Yeah,
Paul Scholes' dad.
Yeah.
Once when I think it was at Highbury, Patrick Vieira obviously disagreed with the decision he made, and Vieira went up to him and sort of put his hand on one of Durkin's pecs, so very gently. It didn't assault him. I think he was trying to get his attention, and Durkin just whips out the red cards and looks at him and just goes, "Oh, just F off," and gives him a red card. Get off the pitch.
That's ungentlemanly.
Get off the
pitch. in the centre of Trabzon, they had a big protest. So like thousands and thousands of people from the stadium obviously lined the streets, and they all had red cards. Like, this is right after the game. Where did they get all this red paper from?
That is well played by them. I mean, the reason why this, because in the melee of all this, his teammate grabbed or seized the referee's red card, which had fallen on the floor, and then held it up to the referee as he was sending him off. But not only did that, because we remember Gazza doing that for Rangers against Hibs, when he showed
the referee, that was a yellow, he sort of
booked the referee and laughed, and then the referee booked him. But this player showed the red and then pointed to the stands.
But this is the thing, when Gazza did that, it was clearly as a joke.
Yeah,
this guy had lost his mind and was actually trying to send the referee off.
I love the way he was doing it because he was probably thinking to himself, "Well, you're a referee, you've probably never been sent off before.
Yeah.
So here's what happens. Go."
Doesn't feel nice, does it? That's horrible.
Like you get a citizen's arrest. Was that a citizen sending off or something?
Could I just quickly tell you my favourite red card story involving the ref Mark Riley? I think I might have mentioned. Not Mark Riley.
Mike
Riley.
Yeah.
Is that, I might have told you before.
Far away.
When Mike Riley was back to the touchline away from the tunnel. Mm. So miles away from the tunnel. And someone put in a foul, quite a late foul. And Mike Riley called him over. And you could see him on the camera calling the guy away from the tunnel towards him, going, come here, come here, come here, come here. He does that. Come here, come here. The guy walks about 15 yards towards the referee away from the tunnel. And when he gets near him, Mike Riley just goes, come here, red.
That's brilliant.
And the guy's a terror. Red. You see, go red.
That's
red.
Great.
Yeah.
That's really great. Yeah.
It's like very petty.
On the old FIFA game where if you ran away from the referee, he couldn't send you off.
Exactly. That's FIFA 95, I think.
It was everything way pre back in 90, the day. 96, I think.
All right, computer games, man.
Yeah, all right, Pete.
You started it.
Anyway, this all happened in the 86th minute of this Turkish Super League encounter. Trabzonspor were already down to 9 men at this point due to early sendings off in the 59th and 70th minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Any other feathered birds you'd like to shout randomly?
Yeah, goose.
Yeah. four men sent off Galatasaray. They only won it 2-1 with a late penalty.
Is that the
presumably scored by Ellie McCoy?
But is that the threshold though? Because if you have one more sent off, the game's abandoned.
That's
right.
Yeah.
I thought it was if you had four, but it must be five.
No, it's five. It's
okay,
five.
Okay, right.
Yeah, because I remember I was telling you that Rangers and Hearts once the Hearts went down to 7.
Wow.
No, this was only a few weeks ago.
You probably did. Yeah,
that is dirty.
Yeah, that is dirty.
Dirty. Right. So that's Turkey. Now we move on to Germany.
This was great. I saw this.
This is very.
This is weird.
Borussia Dortmund. They beat Bayer Leverkusen 1-0 away. Great win. That Bayer Leverkusen is a very tough place to go with Chicharito, who seems to be player of the month every month in Germany, Jim. But Aubameyang scored a controversial one as Leverkusen thought that Stefan Keisling was fouled during play. And Leverkusen's manager, Roger Schmidt, was sent to the stands for protesting too much but refused to go. So the referee took the players off the pitch and they resumed play 8 minutes later without Schmidt in the dugout.
Yeah, I mean, you just can't do that.
He's going to get a big ban. He was talking about
it. He's
meant
to set an example.
He was saying, I saw something in the newspaper today saying that he was really sorry about it and stuff. So, well, you should have thought of that at the time, man.
Yeah.
A lot of naughtiness this week.
It really is.
Unseemly.
Aubameyang's goal was a bit dodgy, wasn't it?
He's got a few, though, hasn't he?
There was a brilliant shot of him in the crowd last week. I don't know why I wasn't playing, but he was in the crowd and he had what can only be described as a court resembling Jerry Halliwell. One in the Two Become One video.
Oh, yeah.
But white.
Phenomenal dress sense on that man.
I don't know where he gets it from.
It's like he's got dressed in the dark, but he stayed overnight at Mariah Carey's house.
Very good. Yeah. Was it better than that famous one that Tino Asprey wore for Newcastle?
Yeah.
Well, not for Newcastle.
On his debut, he came in when it was snowing and he was wearing a big fur coat. I mean, that was like he'd click randomise on the RPG character generator.
Not even the strangest thing he's worn. I'm sure we've all seen the video going down of him dressed as a T-Rex on a horse kicking a giant football
around. Is that definitely him?
Yeah. Well, I am going to assume it is.
It's posted by him on his Twitter account.
I suppose, who else could it be?
I don't like it because it seems to me like he's starting to get in on the joke now.
Yeah,
he's trying
really
too hard.
Yeah.
Be natural, Tino. I liked it when you were kissing horses.
I agree with you, but I think that could well be him just being natural.
Do you want my big news of the week?
Yes, go on.
We haven't got through the red card list yet.
Well, we brought up Tino Asprey.
All right.
My big news of the week is... At Pete Donaldson on Twitter has been blocked by Tino Asprey.
No!
And I don't know why.
If anything, you're the biggest proponent of Tino Asprey.
I know!
In football broadcasting anywhere.
I know!
I am speechless.
I don't know. I think I just think everybody tweets...
What?
Every time he does something mad, people tweet me going, have you seen this, Pete? And I think he thinks that I'm building a dossier of some kind.
You must be upset about that.
I am genuinely annoyed.
You have to log out every time you want to see his tweets.
Oh, you got previous.
Yeah, well. you can log in this Football Ramble.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. The Football Ramble isn't blocked, but I'm blocked personally. What have I done, Tino?
That is true of a
What
Pete.
Have I done?
Pete, at least he knows who you are.
Yeah. Also, Donaldson won.
Can I just say, I think you know what you've done, but you're not telling us.
Yeah. If he's going to have open DMs.
can we change the Football Ramble password, please, on the Twitter?
Don't worry, it's already been done now. A lot of rambles on that. Yeah. Oh, Peter. We need a campaign. Get Pete unblocked.
Two Twitter controversies.
Just from Tino Asprey.
The thing is, though, people are going to listen to this and now start tweeting Asprey about this, and it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
No, wait, how can it get worse?
He won't see them.
He's got a gun and a horse.
Yeah, how can it get worse? It's Tino Asprey.
He won't get past British customs with them. Don't you worry about that. It'll be fine.
That's why he didn't have that Darlington trial that time.
Probably the only
reason. Too close to Hartlepool.
Right, and the final one on our makeshift section, red cards from around the world. We go to Mexico when Cruz Azul equalised late on against rivals Club America. Big game, that.
It's Cruz Azul, isn't it?
Cruz Azul. What did I say?
Blue Cross. You could cruise out Al Soor or something. Azul.
Really? Azul, yeah, sorry. Forgive me, brothers and sisters. Yeah, they equalise late on against their fierce rivals Club America. And the club's manager, Thomas Boy.
It's a great name, Thomas brilliant Boy. He was, Tommy Boy.
Yeah, old Boy was sent off after his wild celebration provoked an angry reaction from the opposite bench. He really gave it some.
I watched that, and it was like a Tommy Gunn version of the Pardew fist pump.
Tommy
it was
Boy.
Like, it was just like, it wasn't much. I didn't think it was a problem.
Well,
it's that sort of attitude that gets you blocked by professional footballers yeah. on Twitter.
Well, he was
professional.
Ex-professional footballer.
Yeah, he was sent to the stands, and three players were also sent off in the kerfuffle. Yeah. Loads of red cards happened on the weekend.
But Marcus, if you don't watch Central American, South American football very often,
yeah.
You it's very easy to fall into that thinking where you think that every single game is like that.
Which, yeah. of course,
there's every single game. Yeah. Yeah. In reality, it's like one in three.
Yeah.
Boy said after the match, there ought to be a directive from the referees commission listing the permitted celebrations.
Oh, that's a big
knock out from the police.
Oi, you've got to have a bit of the boy. Haven't you? Yeah, there we are.
Yeah,
there's your red card chat, ladies and gentlemen, for that week. Shall we go to the highlights of the week with Luke Moore?
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. I've got some good ones here. People have excelled themselves this week.
Goody gumdrops.
I'll then start off with this one from Mark Ridley. He says, Bath City missed two penalties in the game on Saturday. And that's not that bad when you think about it. He then goes on to say, that's the third time it's happened this season.
Bennett. that's the same guy?
I don't know.
He'll come.
I really like this one from Luke Chambers. Made me aware of this. It's on the Mirror website about Didier Deschamps. The story is Didier Deschamps has been scouting Napoli defender Kalidou Koulibaly for France's Euro 2016 squad, completely unaware that the defender is already playing for Senegal.
It's not like he's an unknown player as well.
Yeah, that's right.
It was the big racism scandal a few weeks ago. Yeah. He should know. Wow. It was probably written on the page.
France coach Deschamps revealed that he had been keeping tabs on the impressive centre-back when questioned on the chances of Athletic Bilbao's Aymeric Laporte being called up for this summer's tour on home soil. As well as admitting an interest in Barcelona's Jeremy Mathieu, Deschamps said, for our defence, I've also been following Koulibaly on a popular sort of French TV show. Koulibaly's played four times for Senegal.
Worse than that, when they actually told him, he went, really? Well, we'll see.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
no,
he tried to style it out, didn't he?
No, we won't.
Yeah, you will see. I might think about changing the FIFA rules.
Genuinely, in a week or so, that might be doable.
He's not going to pick pie, though, I don't think. If he doesn't, that's a shame.
Phil Hughes has been in touch. He says, my highlight of the week was receiving the following message from my brother, Dave. He says, I came back from Bruges today. I got on the Eurostar and Pete Donaldson from Football Ramble was sat two seats away.
Oh, hello.
He's only been to Ghent for a piss-up.
Can I ask whether it was the way out or the way back?
You can when I've finished.
Because if it was the way back, I was still steaming.
It sounds like it was the way back.
Yeah.
Either.
Phil goes on to finish. Pete from the Ramble on overseas drinking soja, and to quote Jim from the last preview show, I just think, yeah, consistent.
Well.
You had a nice time, didn't you, Petey?
At the expense
of the locals.
No, I was very nice and polite.
Okay,
but when I was on the Eurostar, I might have been a little bit boisterous.
You're a bit more polite in the European Union, aren't you?
I am, bawdy on public transport?
I wasn't getting bawdy. I got my belly out a few times.
Okay,
and started slapping
it. That's not bawdy.
Did you get your Dutch uncle out?
I didn't get my Dutch uncle out.
I think you've got a real vested interest in Britain staying in the EU. Because the free movement of people law is very important to you, isn't it?
Donaldson's Dutch weekend. Yeah.
I'll tell you something now. If Britain come out of the EU, I'll give it 2 months before the words European arrest warrant.
If the pound gets any weaker, I will struggle to pay the fines, to be quite frank. Yeah.
Finance chat.
Yeah, there we go.
I've got two more highlights.
Far away.
One's from Joe Hurd. He says, on Thursday, I was in the away end for Sporting Lisbon versus Bayer Leverkusen.
Whatever.
He's put Sporting Lisbon. His error.
Yep.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Okay.
He says, Bayer were fantastic and won 1-0. And the highlight was the next day when I received an email from the club, and get this, giving me two free tickets for the return leg as a thank you for my support.
Oh.
Well, I have no use for them as I live in England. I think it's a great gesture and it's a great reward for the away fans who travel across Europe following them.
That's very good.
That's fantastic. Great. And this is the final one from Will Donovan, which made me laugh. He says, on Friday, I'm off on holiday around Europe with my girlfriend. I booked the whole thing around arriving in Rome on Saturday morning so I could watch the Football Italia Classic of Roma-Fiorentina. Unfortunately, I found out the match has been moved to Friday night before we arrived. Holiday's a write-off.
Oh, no.
Well, you'll be on holiday with your girlfriend, presumably
in Italy.
Yeah, in Italy. But yeah, apparently the whole thing's a write-off now.
Oh, it'll be true.
We on the WhatsApp group, we were listening to the Football Italia theme tune, weren't we? just needless, yeah. But just that man who shouts Italiano. It's just too aggressive.
It's great
for a Sunday afternoon.
It was a Saturday morning, I think.
No, Sunday morning.
No,
Marcus.
But the highlights program
Italiano
was a Saturday morning.
Everyone thought it was goal Lazio, and they were all wrong.
It's goal Lazio, isn't it? Which is what a fantastic goal.
I think it is.
Yeah. What a fantastic goal!
I've got a couple of highlights. Blatter protesting his innocence again, saying this: "I have killed nobody. I have not robbed a bank. I have not taken
not in the traditional form.
I have not taken any money from anywhere. I was even treating well all my ex-girlfriends at the same time.
I love them all on the go. I love this. This is classic Sepp because it starts off being really arrogant and defensive, then just goes massively off piste.
He says it's true. They defend me. One I was only married to for a few months, and she is really defending me.
What on earth is going on?
I've got a fever highlight as well.
That's because they're entitled to half of it.
I've got a fever highlight as well. I'm not making this up. I can't remember the guy's name, but FIFA have just banned the guy for 90 days for failing to observe his 90-day ban.
That's the best ban in the history of football. Only behind René Higuita, who got done for cocaine and got a six-match ban in Colombia.
Who was it? One of the FIFA presidential candidates sent them transparent voting booths as well, seeming to take the idea of FIFA being transparent.
Class.
Very, very literally, and they're just refusing to use them.
That is absolutely brilliant. This is another highlight. Frank Lampard, on his friendship with Andrea Pirlo, because they're playing in New York together. He said, "I always tried to get him a nice lager or beer. He's quite open to that, but he is Mr. Italian man, so he loves his Italian restaurants, which there are a lot of in New York. He owns a vineyard back in Italy, so he's a bit of a connoisseur."
Mr. Italian man sounds like a clothing brand Frank Lampard would wear.
Shut up, Mr. England man.
It's brilliant. Clearly, just, you know, they're taking it really seriously out there, aren't they?
I just love the stereotype being fulfilled there. Frank Lampard, an Englishman going over to America, finding an Italian man, just going, "Oi, have a beer."
Mr. Italian man, have a beer. Go on, have a beer. Oi, put down your pizza and have a beer.
Oi, wino. Oi, wine man. Have a beer.
He's having a nice risotto with a bit of wine, and Frank Lampard's going, "Look, can we get on a beer?"
You wine.
Are you going to finish that pizza, or are you going to change sides halfway through?
Have a beer. Seriously, have a beer.
No PLO or party. Have a beer.
My highlight of the week was Cheltenham Town's free kick routine.
Four of them dummied it,
and then one of them just skied it. It was brilliant.
We got a really irate Facebook comment about that, and I wasn't going to mention it, but since you brought it up, I will read it out because it's funny. But can you feel for like 30 seconds?
Let's talk about Tim Sherwood's quote.
No, we've had enough of him.
Owen Rendell, he says, "My highlight of the week is anything but that Cheltenham free kick. We're top of our league with a club record 21 games unbeaten, the best goal difference in the top five divisions, and we're playing some of the best football in my 6 years of being a supporter, and all we're known for is a bad free kick."
Yeah, you've got all that and the worst free kick routine.
Yay.
Someone replied straight away going, "Yeah, but it was proper shit."
Pete, what was the Tim Sherwood quote again?
I can't remember. He goes, "When you're hot, you're hot. When you're cold, you're cold."
No, it's when you're hot, you're hot. When you're cold, you're not hot.
Oh, I ain't felt this bad ever.
Yeah. And when you're only halfway up, you're neither up nor down.
What about that moment from the Millwall match where the defender knocked it back to the keeper, but he put it quite high and the keeper headed it over his own back?
It was an absolute missile of a back pass. It was a missile.
The thing is, though, the keeper can use his hands there. You just can't catch it.
Is that the rule?
I believe so.
You can stop that and just go, come on, that was never a back pass.
If it's the sort of thing where it would otherwise, you know, need a save, you can use your hands. Mm.
I didn't know that.
That's how I've always understood it.
It was an absolute test of a back pass.
It was, yeah.
It was ridiculous. Did you see it? It was ridiculous.
Yeah, indeed.
He like fired it 100 mile an hour.
It's the way he sort of pumped himself into the back of the net as well. There's that
famous back pass back in the day before the back pass rule was implemented. And I think it might have been Graham Souness playing for Liverpool, perhaps. Mm-hmm. I might have got that wrong.
Is it an own goal, this?
No. It's a back pass. And if it's not Souness, forgive me, but it's fairly famous.
It was a man with a moustache.
Yeah, and the guy, the midfield player, got the ball halfway inside the other team's half.
Knocks it back.
He looks up a couple of times, can't see anything, and just sends an absolute bullet back to his own keeper. The striker for the other team tries to chase it down, and he gets like really annoyingly close, and the keeper just picks it up, looks around.
It's crazy when you think of the football when before the back pass rule was introduced. Mm. It's crazy.
A lot of people, not me, I'd personally like to distance myself from this viewpoint, but a lot of people will suggest it's a large reason why Liverpool was so successful in the 80s.
Yeah, that's
I'm
true.
Not that saying is, that myself.
No, a lot of ex-Liverpool pros do basically admit that, I think.
Pete Donaldson thinks that.
No, but it's true. It was a part of the game.
It wasn't that only Liverpool could do it.
Exactly, yeah. It's a part of the game. If you use that to your advantage.
No, it was. That's why they stopped it. It was unfair. It was just unfair. Yeah, it wasn't fair.
Oh, there you are. Any more for any more? Or shall we have a website roundup?
Let us, Jim. So, having been alerted to the power of trolling your own by Jolyon Lescott last week, Kelly's now spotting it everywhere. Visit thefootballramble.com where you'll see her list, which includes, but is not limited to, Cristiano versus paint, pants and press conferences, Stephen Fletcher versus himself, Jurgen Klopp versus Roberto Firmino, and Aston Villa versus the world, but mostly their own fans. So follow Kelly at Kelly_Wells because she's worth it.
Can we all agree that for all his faults...
Kelly's the best thing in the ramble.
That goes without saying, but I think for all his faults, Cristiano Ronaldo does look very good in the pair of pants.
Oh, of course.
Marcus can't get his words out.
Yeah, well, you know.
You were rushing to agree with that.
I was trying to get my Dutch uncle out as well. marvellous stuff. Oh, there are still tickets available for the Newcastle show. Can't imagine why.
Yeah.
Because you have a go at Keegan every week.
That's not true.
We haven't done it this week.
Yeah.
So be careful.
I've got an idea. If you come, we'll be nice to Keegan.
Yeah.
Yay.
For a bit. Yeah.
Maybe you need to get your Hearts Massive to come down.
Maybe I do. Maybe not after last Saturday's performance.
The Newcastle live show, the Birmingham show sold out, as is the London show, but the Newcastle show on the 8th of April, there are still about, I think there's a couple of handfuls of tickets left.
Right.
So get yourself to thefootballramble.com and you can buy them there. And yeah, we'd love to see you.
Indeed. Don't forget to check out 442s as well, as we'll be animated. A short slice of this show will be animated and it'll be hilarious.
Sort of like us with all our imperfections taken out.
Yeah, and a few extras put in.
Yeah.
That's why it's only a minute and a half long.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you want to get in touch, the website is thefootballramble.com, but that's not where you get in touch, of course. You get in touch with the email address, show@thefootballramble.com, or Twitter @footballramble, or on Facebook and Instagram. Check all that.
And Snapchat.
We are on Snapchat, Peter.
You're still using the Snapchat?
Yep.
Yeah, is it any good? Going well?
I did some work last week on it, where I watched the Newcastle match while pretending to be Casey Affleck, the actor. Okay. So
was it otherwise just you with your belly out on a train?
Pretty much. I mean, yeah, I'm sorry if anybody saw me on that train. I was not in a fit
Someone
state.
Did. Someone felt the need
didn't
to
approach
to stage,
me.
To
stage didn't approach me to say hello.
Well, you probably...
Well, two points on that. One, they're intimidated.
That's right.
Two, they felt necessary to stage an email intervention.
I wasn't that bad. I just got my belly out, that's all.
And by the way, they would have been intimidated. And you're not a particularly intimidating fella. That's how much of a state you probably
I
were.
Wasn't in that much of a state. I just remember being a little bit merry.
I can imagine, actually. We should do Pete's intervention as a show.
Yeah. It'd be good. Arguably the last 8 years.
Yeah. Well, before we discuss those ideas, let us go.
Yeah, let's get
for
out
libel's
of here.
Sake, say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Sorry, Tina.
Ta-ra from me.
Minted!
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.